episode 80 of Drunk on Comics. Just need to share this with the world. Kevin doesn't know how to use the three she cells.
The what?
The three she cells.
She cells?
Yeah,
cells?
By the seashore.
He doesn't know how to use the shells.
Dude, I think the best part about last night was when Lauren was like, you know, from Demolition Man. Because everyone else is like, what are you talking about?
Well, to fill our listeners in a little bit, we had a little party over at Kevin's house. Well,
Kevin had thanks the party. For coming over, guys, man. It was a blast.
Yeah. And, you know, the annual Christmas party, which, by the way, I do have the full recording of you doing the poem.
Oh, God, that's murderous.
Which I think that might have to be, like very exclusive. We might have to start a club for listeners that want to see Kevin read "Twas the Night Before Christmas."
You don't want to hear that.
Actually, they do. It was really good. It was touching.
Yeah.
It got me like in the cockles.
Maybe the subcockles. but yeah, so Kevin has some shells out on his thing, and Tony made he has the three shells, and I made the comment that he doesn't know how to use the shells. And of course, the three of us fucking die.
Yeah,
laughing.
we're laughing. No one else there watched Demolition Man.
Yeah,
ever.
20 people there, like what? But
what a great reference and be able to use it, and then everyone's like, I don't get it.
Well, what Kevin didn't see was then after I went over to his thermostat on the wall, and I'm like, fuck, shit, balls, cock, because I had to go use the bathroom.
I hope some of our listeners find this hilarious. Some of them might be like everyone else at the party. What? I don't
get
it.
Well, you know, it's funny. I don't know. I always who's listening to our show? Is it younger? Is it older? Because the younger peoples, they're not going to understand that. Do you think they've seen Demolition Man?
I don't know.
If you're younger and you've never seen Demolition Man, you must see it because it is awesome.
The best armor made out of tires around.
Yeah, it's a. No, to answer your question, Kevin, from what I can tell, the age range is across the board.
We got. I know we have an 11-year-old.
Yep.
which is weird.
And I know of.
And I've told the parents. Hey. Yeah.
And I know that I know a good number of people personally that are in their 50s and 60s that listen.
Wow. Yeah. Awesome.
But anyway, welcome to Drunk on Comics.
Hey, thank you.
This is our weekly podcast where we talk about comic books and industry news and collecting stuff and all other little just...
Nearly nuggets of the net.
I was just going to say heartwarming fun facts of nerddom, but...
I think that's more appropriate this time of the year. It's the holiday season. That got me a little gooey inside.
Yeah, the facts of life.
I've been getting warm on the inside for a while with all of my liquors and my beers that
holiday pies.
Pie. All right, guys. I'm sorry. I'm Derek.
I'm Tony.
Kevin. I'm back, baby.
About damn time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been missing for, what, a month now?
2 weeks.
I've been gone only 2 weeks, and it felt like forever for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, that's what I will keep on telling myself.
All right, guys, let's get things kicked off here with Off the Shelf. For new listeners out there, we're going to review some books that we picked up this week, books that we liked, and we're going to talk about shit that went on in there, so there is a warning that we might, you know, tell you secrets. Or rumors.
Rumors.
but Off the Shelf brought to you by inter-comics.com. Go check them out. Online retailer out of the UK, but they ship worldwide. They got great prices. Awesome guys. Give them some money.
I'll start today. Good. I'll volunteer since you guys don't seem.
No, I was actually going to say, Tony, would you start?
Okay, well. Beat you to it. I have a book that if you are not reading this, why the fuck aren't you?
I can say why I'm not because I was reading it, but due to the high volume of books, I had to stop someplace.
Oh, but you gave up on the one book that you should have. There are many reasons to read comic books. And then there are a few reasons why you should really read particular books. This one is hilarious as hell. This, like, story.
What book is it?
I was going to, like, just do a whole review on a book.
He's building up. He's
turning into, like, my reviews, where 20 minutes after I start the review, and this is the book.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the book.
Superior Foes of Spider-Man number 6.
Ooh.
And actually, the whole series has just been great because it's something different. And when it first came out, I didn't know how this story was going to unfold. It's going to be about bad guys. But God, these are loser bad guys. In a sense. I mean, pretty much it follows Boomerang and his Sinister 6 of 5 that he has. And trying to be the, you know, top world of the crime syndicate. This story,
You threw me for a loop when you said crime syndicate, because my mind is in the clouds with Forever Evil right now, that DC series.
Oh, yeah.
They're probably reading that and...
So
it's part of that.
Sorry, man. I didn't mean to ruin your mojo.
The same creative team that started?
Yeah.
Okay. Because
this in particular, the storytellers are Nick Spencer and Steve Lieber. Color art by Rachel Rosenberg. And the thing that I just loved, our buddy Joe Carmagna, letters, reading each person's, you know, title. You have Steven Wacker, not responsible. So I don't know, what's he not responsible for?
If I remember correctly, Steve is an editor.
Okay, so he's not responsible for this book then, I guess. This starts off with Boomerang on a date and just being such a loser of a guy as far as bad guys go that it makes you feel for him. And to have a character that is this big of... make you be like, I kind of am rooting for him to make that big heist so that, you know, he could hopefully impress this chick. You know, makes it all good. The best part of this is the last issue, they were breaking in to steal the head of Silvermane. But that was kind of a ploy to get his group to go in there when really he was stealing the portrait of Victor Von Doom without his mask on. Now, that is a running gag in this entire book here because everyone wants to know what Victor Von Doom looks like without his mask on. He's telling the story of how this artist painted it and then ultimately died the next day. But Doom couldn't feel the need to throw this away, so it was down there. In the panels where it's showing where it's exchanging, you either have like a claw covering the face or you have it just off panel so that you can't see the face. So many different things, or it's like tipped upside down so you can see the bottom part of it, and just the face is always missing in the things. So that was just a great art gag throughout this entire thing, and that speaks volumes of the other jokes and in-jokes in this. It has less to do with Spider-Man and anything really with him, and these definitely are not superior foes, but they're hilarious.
It's the irony.
Yes.
It's the irony that they're the superior foes. Well, and the fact that they're Sinister Six, but they still only have 5 members.
Yeah. It's like rain on your wedding day.
I can't say this one on air. I'll leave that one alone.
So, overall, the reason why I really love this, though, is just that ongoing gag of the portrait. And that he actually did have this huge heist that he pulled off, so he's really not as big of a loser as the rest of his team really thinks. It continues into the story with Tombstone coming back at the end and revealing his daughter is on the team. But I don't really care about that. I care about Boomerang and his schlubbing around.
When he was on his date, did he was he wearing his costume or was he in street clothes?
He was in street clothes with the glasses with the bushy eyebrows and a mustache. He's saying, everyone wants to come and get my autograph. And I'm like, God, you're such a loser. But go pick that up. It was, even just a single issue, not having read the other ones, it's hilarious. And the sight gags within the book really pull it out.
Nice. Kevin, would you like to go next, or would you like me to?
I'll go.
Okay.
Because you got other stuff going on later, right?
I got all kinds of stuff.
Bags of tricks.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this week was a tough week for me to figure out what I wanted to review in depth.
What was it? Was it tough because everything was good, or was it tough because
It was just I had a few to pick from.
Oh.
Yeah. So what made the cut was Justice League number 25 by DC Comics. Maybe you heard of them.
What came in second?
None of your business. no, actually, Superman, Wonder Woman, number 3. And quick side note, even though we have a segment for it, but since you brought it here, I read that, and I'm like, you know what? I kind of like celebrity gossip. I think that was a breakthrough after reading that.
Really?
Wait, yeah. What do you mean you like celebrity gossip?
You
mean like rumors?
you know, I don't mind flipping through like an Us Weekly magazine or...
You keep up with the Kardashians?
Or some Piapple?
Not those hoes.
Do you like the Piapple magazine?
No! Oh. Like Piapple?
<Yeah. laughs> It was like, what foreign book is that? Yeah.
Phoenix.
All right. Written by Jeff Johns. Pencils by Doug Mankey. Now, inks and colors, apparently they have their own Justice League set up to do this. So inks by Christian Alame, Mark Irwin, Keith Champagne. And Doug Mankey. Colors by Gabe Elbeb, Tony Avina, and Rod Rice.
Hmm.
It's a lot.
That is a lot.
It's a lot. So Justice League 25 is part of the DC ongoing series Forever Evil. Now, if you haven't heard that there's a series going on right now, guys, called Forever Evil. And
this sounds interesting. I might want to pick up a book.
Now, honestly, man, if you don't know about Forever Evil, how did you fucking find out about our show? Now, serious. I'm serious. Now, let us know. Tweet us at Drunken Comics or whatever,
or the Facebooks.
Just let it. I'm curious, and because if you're listening to us and you don't have a clue about this series, I wonder. But I can understand at least if you've heard of Forever Evil, but not know anything that's going on in this series. Yes, Derek, I'm looking at you.
What? I've actually read the first couple of the...
Yeah, see, you're always the person I look to first when I'm talking about DC.
That's only because I'm in direct, like, line of sight past...
Because you can't look across the table at me to be line of sight, too.
Well, after last night, I can't look at you at all.
Not after Tony showed you how to use the three shells.
Surprisingly intimate.
Yeah. It's a heartwarming moment.
So, anyway, man, Papa Bear is going to bring a... together for you right now, right here.
It's too big.
Shrink it down a little bit.
No, that's too small.
All right. This review is just right.
that's my goal every time I do a review, just to get it just right, because it's usually just sucky or really sucky. So, like I said earlier, there were a few books I wanted to discuss more in depth today, but my choosing of this book and this segment was really what I liked about this issue and actually the previous issue, 24, collectively. Now, I'm not going to talk too much about 24, but... So this is a quick recap. Justice League 24 and 25 take a closer look at the members of the evil Justice League, who is the antagonist in the Forever Evil story arc going on right now, also better known as the Crime Syndicate. So in issue 25 of Justice League, they take a closer look at Owlman.
The flip side of Batman's coin.
Yeah. It's not much of a stretch there. Now, of course, now I think about this. Wasn't Owlman in Watchmen?
He was the owl.
He's just the owl. Just the owl, okay. All right. So, these backstories are just so wonderfully done. And, again, 24... backstory of another evil character. The build-up was so well done. I fucking wanted the whole issue to be backstory. Like, just give me Owlman. Just give me the origin story of Owlman. Make that Owlman number one. That would have been really, really good. But really, the book was a third of it was backstory. And it may sound like I'm kind of shortchanging the other two thirds, but no, actually this book was the complete package, and because there's even backstories of Dick Grayson alternate Earth, and that was kind of cool. Still flying Graysons, but. But different. So,
the walking Graysons?
Yeah. No. They're the flying Graysons.
They're jumping
Graysons. No, but how the family died was the circumstances around their deaths is different. It's just a very interesting take on this alternate world, and I fucking love it.
Hang gliding accident.
No, I almost said paratrooper. But parasailing, that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah.
all right. Now, I was making a little fun earlier about the art team. In all seriousness, though, that team really worked up something special here. Like, if you guys have, and I don't know if you guys haven't read this, but I'm going to pass it around. $3.99. For an issue of Justice League these days, and I would say that the art was so well done that this could be a $4.99 book.
Wow.
And that's talking to fucking the anti-Scrooge McDuck over here.
The one thing just flipping through that that I'm happy about, because sometimes you can tell slight differences if you're really looking on the ink styles, you know. I'm no real artist. Yeah, but having that many different inkers over the same penciler, you don't notice a massive shift in tone or anything like that.
It's fucking seamless, and it is fucking awesome.
I'll put it this way: if I didn't know that there were multiple inkers, I would assume it was just one.
Yeah,
and that's a good thing.
So. Makes me wonder, okay, so if that many artists gets you that quality of art, why aren't they putting, like, massive teams of, like, 10 together? Then it would be even fucking more mind-blowing.
I don't know. Like, I mean, like when you first started saying that there was, like, all these people doing inks and stuff, I'm like you know. I'm not sure why they did that. I'd be curious to find out.
It is interesting, because in the other Justice League's books, now I don't remember off the top of my head issue number 24 that I previously mentioned, if it had that big of an art team in it, but this definitely I can't get off to you guys enough about how well the art is here.
Do you need a Kleenex?
Nah, I'm wearing boxers.
Depends.
Seriously, the tie-ins to the Forever Evil series, they've been okay. I've picked up a few, nothing that really has sustained. The main story arc, Forever Evil, is definitely worth the pickup. But if you want a little bit of depth to that story arc, Forever Evil is really good. If you just like a good alternate story, and you know what, I think my obsession with What Ifs and Elseworlds and the other alternate realities of Marvel and DC, I think that just draws me into this story here of Justice League 25 and 24. So, yeah, you should pick it up. I don't think I actually reviewed it at all. I just said I like it.
It's good.
It's good.
Well, you didn't. No, actually, that to me, it gives the people enough reason to want to at least go look at it, and that's what we do.
Kevin Cream to shorts, pick it up.
They knew that was from your heart.
Yeah, and his sub cockles. all right, it's from the song "Asshole" by Dennis Leary.
Oh, this sounds like it's something that you remove from a turkey before cooking it.
Make some gravy with it. You want some sub cockle gravy? all right,
Grammy.
Guys. This week, I got Lazarus number 5 from Image Comics, written by Greg Rucka, art and letters by Michael Lark, and colors by Santi Arcus. This book, if you guys aren't reading it, or if you didn't hear me talk about it when it first came out, this book is basically a futuristic world where very rich families that have taken over certain areas. There really isn't like a government of the United States. There's like very rich families that own different areas of it.
Are they like districts? Are there like 12 of them?
No, there's like 9.
Are people hungry and playing games?
the way that it is that these families that do it, they have serfs that work for them, and that, you know, that's...
So they all live near water?
No, different kind of serfs.
Okay.
Turfs?
Yeah. And then all the rest of the people are referred to as waste.
So they live near garbage?
They are garbage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But these rich families, like, it's this world where they feel like if they weren't there, all these people would just die anyway. So, like, they're providing a service, you know, it's like... There's a lot of martial law type stuff that goes on in this world. Issue 5 is a lot of a backstory. So, Kevin, here you go. You like backstories. This one's for you.
Thank you.
The daughter of the Carlisle family, her name is Forever, and she is one of the Lazarus. And each family has their own Lazarus. What you find out is that they have regenerative powers, more or less they can't die. But they're all made to believe that they are actually part of the family. They're technically not. They're created. In this case, she is more of a true genetic Lazarus, whereas like other families may have more like biomechanical attachments, like cyborg Superman type shit. But this is a little backstory of when she was younger and they're training her. And I mean, she's probably like 6-7 years old drawn in this in this. And she has to beat this full-grown woman in combat before she can get the family sword, you know, which, and when she doesn't, you know, the father, or at least who she thinks her father, basically says that, you know, next time I come back, if you can't beat her, you will no longer be my daughter, you know, and so it's just like this brutal upbringing for this little girl. But they're, you know, they don't look at her as human. You know, she is a weapon to them, but they manipulate her throughout the whole thing. Flash forward to current times in here, and you kind of see some of the way that these families interact. You know, they have treaties, but they're always on the brink of war, and you know, they're across the Mississippi River from each other. Somebody from the other side, when Forever turns around and walks away, somebody shoots her in the back. Well, she turns around and. With the great writing of Rucka here, basically...
No, this is... You're supposed to be giving a summary, right? Or are you actually this is the issue?
This is in the issue. And I wanted to bring this up because the conflict that Rucka does in here is so awesome. Because in this, he basically he has Forever turn around and say, if that was under order, then we're at war. Otherwise, if someone disobeyed orders, take care of it and we don't have a problem. So all the guys on the other side of the family in that armor basically turn and kill the guy that shot at her so that they wouldn't go to war. I mean, it's a brutal world that Greg Rucka has created in here. it goes into a lot more detail with other different side stories in here. And the reason I wanted to bring this one up, I mean, the artwork from Michael Lark is really just so cool. I mean, it draws you into this world where everything's dark and gloomy, and there really isn't any happiness in here. You know, the colors that come in here from Arcus as well really kind of add to that overall gloom and doom thing. But there are a couple little other things in here that I don't want to spoil, as far as things that Forever is starting to notice. There's a lot of family deceit and intrigue throughout the entire thing. I really recommend this book. It might be for some people better to read this in a trade format, because it is very in-depth, and Greg Rucka builds very, very, like, large worlds with a lot of things going on. So it might be better for some people to read it all at once. You can jump on with this issue, but you will be missing stuff, you know. So if you can go back and find issues 1-4, I would recommend it. But if you can't, still go buy this book. It really is a lot of fun. The dialogue's fantastic. The art's beautiful. I mean, you can't lose with this. So, two mugs up.
By Image?
By Image. Yeah. All right. That's Lazarus for me.
Speaking of, like, jumping on points and, like, you know, backstories, Brain Boy Number Zero came out.
Fuck so. You guys.
It's his first mission, man. So, just to let you know, that's out. So, you might find it at your comic book shop in, like, 3 weeks. So.
Yeah,
for a month.
Brain Boy Number 3 came out. 4 is probably out too.
Yeah, we're jumping back to Number 0, so
we're never gonna let you
live that one down. Fuck you guys. Yeah. These assholes here are fucking ripping on me from episode 76.
76, I think.
76.
Yeah.
Yeah. I picked up a book that I thought was I was directed to that was new, but really was out what 3 months ago.
Well,
three months. I presented it as a new book.
Yeah,
and it was 2 months old. Thank you, shitty comic book store. I don't go to that comic book store normally, but
yeah. Well,
yeah.
Don't need to. We got a good one in town now. Should we do some newsage?
Yep.
All right.
Newsage.
Newsage. You want to kick it off, Tony, or you want me to talk
you,
one?
You can kick it off.
All right. The one thing that I thought was oh, it's not
rumors.
Yeah.
Oh.
this one's actually legit.
Oh, real news?
Yeah, it's real news. The artist, Mahmoud Azrar, has signed an exclusive deal with Marvel. You guys will probably know him more from his run on Supergirl, which I'm disappointed because I just started reading Supergirl and I liked his art, and now he's gone. And actually why this one pisses me off is that he's taking over Wolverine and the X-Men, starting with the new number one for the all-new Marvel Now again soon.
0.152.
Yeah. And I'm like, damn it, now I gotta fucking start buying that series again because I really do like this. It's just interesting to see because, I mean, there aren't a lot of artists or writers that are signing exclusive deals with either company.
Yeah, actually, well, it's used to be kind of like that. Now it's been a lot. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to have my own comic book, you know, at Image or Dark Horse, still draw some stuff mm-hmm. for DC. And, yeah, it's different that they're...
It's just, it's going to make me wonder, you know, what could happen. You know, are we going to get a lot more of these exclusive deals, or is there a lot of is there a lot of infighting going on and that's why they were doing it? I don't know, but anyway, that pisses me off, but you know, I'm sure whatever he does on Wolverine and the X-Men is going to be freaking gorgeous, because he's a great I don't know if up and comer really is the right way of putting it, but somebody who hasn't been on my radar that much up until the last year or so.
Sony has announced that they are for sure doing a Venom movie now and a Sinister Six movie. Those have been rumored for a while, but now it's been definitely confirmed. Venom 1, can totally see that pull on its own. I'm confused on how a Sinister Six movie would work. Is it going to be through the eyes of those bad guys? I mean, don't you need kind of a superhero in there? So are they going to somehow revolve it around them, and maybe Spider-Man shows up at the end, which would be kind of different.
No, dude, it's gonna be it's gonna be super lame. Where you have the villains getting together, like, oh, we're gonna take over the world, and they start doing that, and then one of them's like, his heart of gold starts to melt. Oh, guys, I don't think we should be doing this anymore. And then he goes rogue.
And the Grinch's heart grew 3 times stronger that day. Well, no, but this at least, though, goes back to everyone speculating why they're throwing so many characters into Amazing Spider-Man 2. It's to set them up for these spinoff movies. So there's probably going to be a lot more quick cameos of a person name mentioned here. See how the, you know, people react to that on the big screen and be like, might go in that direction.
I can't blame Sony because the company's not doing too good these days, so need some money. Need some cash.
Yeah.
Start bumping them out.
Different topic. The Marvel is releasing a brand new OGN, or as
OBGYN?
Kenobi. original graphic novel for OGN. And it's, I think it's going to be a...
I don't know what OGN is, though.
Original graphic novel.
Oh, okay. I thought that was going to be the title of the original graphic
novel. Oh, I see.
X-Men OBGYN.
Kenobi.
Dude, featuring Captain Britain.
Yeah. This book is going to be written by Mike Carey and illustrated by Salvador LaRocca. And it's kind of an interesting thing just because it's called X-Men No More Humans. And from what I saw, it's going to be one of these things where they wake up and all the humans have disappeared. And it's only mutants left in the world. Which, to me, that could be a really, really fun story to go with. You know, I mean, like, there's a lot of different consequences and thought processes on what could happen there. I've never bought an OGN before that didn't come out in single-issue format first. So I don't know. I mean, it's going to be 128 pages. It's going to be hardcover. So I haven't seen a price point on it, but I'm guessing probably 40 or 50.
Really? You think it's going to be that much?
Probably at least 40.
Do $29.99. That's they want people to buy it in addition to the normal weekly pickups.
Yeah.
That just seems, and of course we're just speculating. I mean, fuck, they could throw $99 on it. I mean, say this is fucking gold.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be coming out beginning of May.
Yeah. And I say I'm very interested about this, but I just don't know if I really want to spend that kind of money.
It will depend on price point for me. Yeah. The one thing that I started thinking about more about this is that, you know, this No More Humans is that if this is going to be like that that Kirk Cameron movie, the Left Behind film series, you know, where it's
Kirk Cameron, you know, from like Growing Pains.
Yeah Left Behind is, you know, basically when all the good people are taken to heaven and all the rest
of them. I knew this was gonna be about Jesus.
Well, yeah, no, like it's that just kind of makes me wonder, is it gonna be, oh, all you mutants, we told you, you are the devil spawn.
Hey, I got one more comment about this picture. There's a picture, and that's that shows the just a smattering of mutants in there, and Captain Britain's in it. But doesn't Beast look like a bulky lurch from the Addams Family TV show?
A little bit in the picture, but that's more of his new gorilla like form.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird. I'm not. I was flipping through some of the books this in pre production, and I'm like, God, I don't know if I'm really digging that new look.
Well, the one thing I will say about it, I'm just happy everybody's drawn them the same way.
Yeah, that is true. It was very consistent from what I was seeing.
Well,
yeah.
Speaking about drawing and stuff that kind of got switched back in 1988, we all know that Batgirl got shot through her spine through the Joker, tortured, and all these things. Well, what they're talking about now is the original art in that had a lot more to do with the sexy sex, rape.
Yeah, sex. not sexy.
No, yeah.
No, that Joker not only shot her, tortured her, all that, but it alluded to the fact that Barbara Gordon was also raped by the Joker.
And I have to say, credit where credit's due, Kevin earlier was saying, I just don't see that out of the Joker, and I don't either. That just seems dumb. Because I don't see I could see the Joker shooting her through the spine, doing shit that's chaotic. He's not really a rapist, though.
Yeah. And the actual original art.
Yeah, I know we've all read the article, but did you actually see the art?
Yes. Yeah, it's...
It's
a little disturbing. You know, I mean, Tony, I don't know if you actually saw it or not, but...
Yeah, that seems weird.
Yeah, I do agree, though. Like, I don't see the Joker as being a sexual deviant, you know, in there. I mean, I know he loves, you know, anarchy and chaos and all this other shit, but to me, I don't see that in there. But it does kind of make you wonder more about that story and where it really started and all that, but... Yeah, that was one of the most shocking things that I've seen recently. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
on to some good news. Yeah, Archie has donated $1 million to Toys for Tots.
Yeah, $1 million worth of comics. You know, for Toys for Tots, I think that's cool as hell.
I'd love to get comic books for Christmas.
Well, you know, and I think one of the coolest parts about this is that. Not only are they giving, you know, $1 million worth of their stuff away, but a lot of these kids that are getting Toys for Tots, obviously they're coming more from, you know, less privileged families. And those are a lot of the times some of the kids that you might have to work a little bit harder to get them to want to read. And I think this is a great way to kind of bring younger people into reading, also introduce them to the world of comics, you know, because maybe some of them haven't ever read a comic. So that was definitely a good heartwarming story on there.
It's a lot better than my idea of giving tater tots for toys.
Tater tots for toys?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or toys for tater tots? Yeah. I'd give away toys for tater tots.
Yeah, you know, something that you haven't played with in a while.
Like all of Tony's stuff? I'd give it away.
Fuck you guys.
You might get like a half pound of tots.
Half pound? Ooh. With maybe some bacon on it. Hellboy Day was announced, and it's going to be in March. Now, the article I found on comicbook.com, and I'm confused because...
the first line there.
Well, yeah, the title says Hellboy Day announced for March 22nd, and then the first line in it, says that 20 years after he first stormed into comic book stores, Dark Horse Comics have declared March 21st to be Hellboy Day. So it's either 21st or 22nd. We don't know. I'm sure that it'll get cleared up before then. But, yeah, it's going to be just something to kind of keep your eye out for. I don't know a whole lot of details on it yet. But if you like Hellboy, you've got your own day coming.
Who's Dark Horse? They're doing that these days, right?
Yeah.
We should have just looked it up during pre-production.
Well, why? That's like working shit. I would much rather.
Now I'm curious. What day is Hellboy Day? Because I would be embarrassed if I say to someone Happy Hellboy Day on the 22nd and it actually was the 21st.
Well, just start saying it on the 21st, and then you're covered. Because like I'm saying Merry Christmas right now, and it's Christmas ain't for another week. All right, what else we got there, Tony? Okay, never mind. I'll come up with something. Kevin, I know you like backstory. Do you like future story?
Are you going to talk to me about Justice League 3000?
No.
You like going back to the future stories?
I do.
Gotta go back in time. No, actually, DC, we talked about this a while back, that their next big ploy is to jump 5 years into the future.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was supposed to happen like in February.
I'm pretty sure that there's September events on those. But the first little teaser touch for it is going to be on Free Comic Book Day, which is the first Saturday in May. every year. And, yeah, the new 52 Futures End number zero, I saw a cover for, and it's got Batman Beyond, and then you've got all of your other Justice League people, but they're all, like, cyborg people in it. It's kind of a, well, not kind of, it is a creepy fucking cover.
Well, yeah, my first thing I noticed about that image was all the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if it's, I think it's OMAC.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys, I don't know, like, if you read that stuff, like, 5+ years ago. Like, yeah, anyway, OMAC.
Yeah.
Listeners will understand what I'm talking about.
I know who OMAC is.
Okay.
Yeah. For those of you wanting to go to San Diego Comic-Con, be prepared to wait a little bit longer for your pre-registration, because San Diego Comic-Con, I guess, wants to make sure that their website is running properly before they release it to the world. I think.
Still haven't they had websites before?
Well,
can they just copy and paste?
No. Our government's had websites before, too. I think they just are like going, we don't want that kind of shitstorm. So, yeah, it's just a
good,
heads up.
Good for them. Good for them. Because, honestly, the last thing I want to fucking read is San Diego Comic-Con yet again.
Pisses off fans.
They're trying to find out how they can not only get your Twitter feed, but your Facebook feed as well.
Yeah, that's... I guess it's going to be early next year or something like that. But that was kind of a heads up. For those people who like the Little Big Planet video game for Sony, it looks like DC is going to have some downloadable content for that. I haven't played a Little Big Planet game in probably 4 years.
It's some DC DLC.
That's fucking good game.
Yeah,
I love it. I've always wanted to play it with 4 players. But the best I could ever get was 2.
Because you only have 2 friends?
No, it's like getting people to get together, play games.
Like Rock Band.
It's always a process.
Monopoly.
Monotony,
yeah. Tony, actually, we do have a little segment.
Rumors.
Rumor that the character of Cyclops, as played by James Marsden, might possibly see a return in the X-Men Apocalypse movie. I don't know how it's going to be, but, you know, again, we aren't saying it's truth. All we're saying is that it...
Rumors!
The last bit of news that I had this week was Marvel canceled A+X, and so it's going to be done in March. I didn't know that comic series was still going on.
I didn't either.
Like that. That's bad. So, definitely, I guess it definitely was one that they could axe. That's all I got for news. Did you guys have anything else?
Nah, you pretty much covered it. I mean...
Okay. Should we do a little Best on Tap?
Yeah. Maybe.
All right.
Maybe.
Tony, this was your suggestion that got voted in, so why don't you reveal?
Okay. I picked this partly because I knew I'd get your vote, Derek, because it has Daredevil on the cover, but it's not a Daredevil book. It's Avengers AI.
Number 7.
Yeah, number 7, featuring Daredevil. And the reason why I kind of put this out for the vote and really liked it is it's got Daredevil's magic power of hypnosis beams. They're drawn on the covers all the time. They look like the hypnosis, you know, squiggly line thing.
It's his radar. Yeah. By the way, cover art was done by David Marquez.
Yep. And it's really cool to see the drawings. I mean, it's hard to sometimes draw circles.
I can't draw circles. Well, I can't draw anything.
Yeah. Draw stick figures, but that's about it.
I can draw a beer from a tap, and that's about it.
But what I like about this rendition is it kind of then looks kind of Matrix-y because they're all mainly robots on the team, so you kind of get those vectors and whatever within the radar, and it looks like it took some time to kind of draw those lines.
You know, I almost wonder actually, I would actually love to talk to him about how he drew this, because it is jumping back and forth within that radar, almost that bullseye radar of having the quote unquote real image to the radar, to the real to the radar. It really is a really beautiful cover on here. So I'd recommend people go take a peek at it. And
I like that what you said. You almost actually picked up that book because of it.
I almost I did. I almost bought the book, but I had such a stack this week. I'm like, oh, can I really handle one more book? And I'm like, we'll see how this goes. I might go back and pick it up.
Hey, you know, we did miss a news or a note. That Christmas card.
Oh yeah,
yeah. You know, I thought that was nice that listeners should find. Actually, fuck, we'll make that our thumbnail on our podcast or something.
Yeah, we'll find it.
But it was sharp.
Yeah,
you give the origin, Derek.
Well, DC gets one of their artists, I guess, to draw their Christmas card every year, and I unfortunately I don't have it up in front of me, so I can't get credit where credit's due.
Yeah, I had it up, but then
So artist did a drawing of Superman, more or less, kind of levitating a giant snowflake in his hands, and the cool part was that the snowflake was made up of the Wonder Woman logo, the Batman logo, I think the Superman logo, and the Green Lantern logos, all in there.
Yeah, it was well done. It just looked like it's just a normal snowflake.
Yeah, until you like all of a sudden you look and you're like, oh, that's smart.
Dave Johnson.
Yes, thank you.
Dave Johnson. And also from our breaking news department. That's just in. Hellboy Day is the 22nd.
Yeah, you sure about that one?
Yeah, I went to the horse's mouth.
Well, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't get him to buy you a drink.
Get it? dark horse.
Yeah,
horse.
I got it. I got it. Yeah.
Did you really?
Where do we need to go? We need to do a little Indie Turnpike here, don't we?
Yes, we do. And I have it for you with Unity number 2. Written by Matt Kent, artist Doug Braithwaite, and color art Brian Reber. We'll start with talking about the art first. Superb. I mean, this book in itself, for just the art, is well worth it. And the way that they have so many different vibrant colors for each different character, you can tell who's sticking out. They have a part in here where they're kind of within the mainframe of Eric, a.k.a. Man of War's ship, and that's kind of like a Tron-ish kind of feel, but you can tell that it's not the real world with how the hues are a little bit lighter, but it's very good. Now, this story, as I talked about number one a month ago, is starting to try to build this team, this unity, if you will, within the Valiant world, taking Exo Manowar as kind of the bad guy, even though he's kind of a good guy, he's got his own series, but just the shit that he's doing right now. Unlike other comic series that have tie-ins, Fear Itself, ABX, oh man, I got something in my throat. This does it right. One of the things, though, for listeners to know is you can just pick up the Unity series right now and read them. And soon it's going to be the ongoing series. But right now, what they're really kind of shoving down your throat is this overall story arc that you really should be reading some of the other books within the Valiant universe to get what's going on. I was lucky to have read the Exo Manowar that kind of went off of the first one when Ninjak, this badass ninja, got captured. This kind of ties into the rest of Harada trying to go and save him and ultimately take down Eric's ship and take his people hostage. Where, like I said, though, you don't get a lot of this backstory. You kind of just get where the first team got obliterated, and now the next team is going on in. So if you haven't read some of the other series within Valiant, you're going to be not getting the whole picture, I guess is what I'd like to say.
But you can still get it's not required reading.
Yeah, it's not required, but as I said, it is so well done, the way that they have interweaved this story arc. Yes. That it's just go pick up some other of the series within it. And not even with talking about what happens in this book, which I'm a little confused about where it is going, because it looks like Man of War's armor has been taken off, but within the mainframe, this chick, Livewire, is getting it put on, but she can't control the ship and they're going to crash. It's
what
one
the
of those.
Hell was that?
I'm trying to just express my feelings of, I don't know where this is going, but I'm on this ride and I can't wait to find out where it goes. Another thing within here, just a quick preview for some of the books coming up from, like I said, Valiant, I think, my number one publisher right now. And they have a couple books coming out that are all zero issues to kind of have some backstories. And the one I'm looking forward to the most is The Goat from Quantum and Woody.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of a shout out there. Another big thing that all from this series here, the back page talks about Kindle Worlds, where you can go to Amazon.com and write your own story of Unity Team, of Valiant, you know, world, and possibly make some money from that if it gets published.
Oh, that's cool.
That's another kind of just random cool thing that Valiant is doing, and I think that they're on the run, man, to be making some hardcore money with their series coming out. But Unity number 2, art was great, the story was great. Pick up some other Valiant stuff.
Well, I know that one of our review writers for our site, for listeners that haven't been there, it's drunkoncomics.com. Scott Keyes, one of our writers, he did a review on this, you know, earlier in the week, and he's said that this is one of the best looking books out there right now. And, you know, I got to agree. I mean, it is absolutely beautiful. But, yeah, he is super excited. I mean, he's like, oh, my God, so many big things are coming from Valiant. You got to get on this series. I mean, just super, super excited. But yeah, it's a really, really solid creative team. I mean, Kent is a great writer. Braithwaite is fantastic artist. You know, I mean, and was it Brian Reber? Did he do the colors on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, just freaking amazing team on that. And I'll be honest, I mean, I was never a big Valiant guy, but I'm getting sucked in really quickly.
Yep.
So they're doing a lot right. But there you go.
All right. Now you have a booze in a book this week.
I do have booze in a book. And the booze in a book, there's nothing super funny, quippy, anything like that. It was one of those like good, just it was a no-brainer pairing for me. And the actual the booze itself this week is the Sleigh Bell Spiced Ale from Crown Valley. And it's a winter beer, obviously. And it's got cinnamon, ginger, nutmeg, allspice kind of mixed in there. There might be some clove in it as well. I mean, it's really that it's Christmas in your mouth is basically what it is. That paired with Krampus number 1 from Image Comics, which was written by Brian Joins, and the Dean Kotz did the art, colors by Ron Riley, and letters by Charles Pritchett. Both of these, if you like the holidays, if you like fun, if you like things that are a little on the dark side, but still just make you feel good and creepily warm inside, yeah, this is both of these are exactly where you want to go. Normally I'd end, but Tony, I know we kind of wanted to just talk just briefly about this book.
Well, I mean, I'm just kind of curious about this book, Krampus. I mean, it's not like I read it and thought it was the best thing I've read and wanted it in every section today.
You better not lie, or Krampus is going to come kick your ass.
That is true. This, hands down, I think is probably one of the best books that came out this week, because the story was great. I enjoyed the art. I wanted to also do it for indie because it's an indie. The back cover actually is pretty sweet with all the different...
You didn't even notice the back cover till pre-production.
I know. And then Secret Society of Santa Clauses. This, I don't know what else to say except for this was a fun, random
read. I don't want to give the storyline away on this one because I really do want people to go look. But it deals with the fact that Santa Clauses are actually real. And there's more than one, that each country or region kind of has their own different one. And they all dress different, look different. And there's kind of like one leader Santa in there. I will say the sugar plum fairies are dicks.
well, who's Krampus? Krampus
was, let's see, actually there's kind of a thing here in the beginning, which will sum it up a little bit better, that back in the 17th century, the very first Santa Claus needed a little help, with the kids that wanted presents. And so he kind of turned to a little dark magic and got Krampus to come out and basically punish the bad children. And, yeah, then Krampus was kind of put away because he got a little out of control. That's more or less the breakdown of Krampus. There's a lot more information in here. But this is a fun fucking book. Like, I mean, I really found myself just thoroughly enjoying all aspects of it. I mean...
Well, the plot even, like...
Kevin, you look so sad, like you're going to get punished by Krampus.
My damn comic book store ran out of this, and I didn't get a chance to read it.
Yeah, well, that's why we aren't spoiling this one for you.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. But it's there's a lot of twisted humor. Like, you know, when...
Well, I like how, like, what would you say that is? Like, more Russian or German, his accent? Like, when you're reading it, you know, he's German. Where is that? And
yeah, that's definitely a German.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, just the name of itself, Krampus. I would, if you were telling me, country of origin.
Yeah, starting with a K, Krampus, yep. I just so much, like, dark, fucked up humor in here, though. Like, as they're losing their magic powers due to the, this is at the beginning, so this isn't going to ruin anything, but they're losing, the Santa Clauses are losing their magical powers because the Sugar Plum Fairies have stolen the remains of St. Nicholas.
You are right, the Arctics.
Yeah. But all of a sudden, a reindeer comes crashing through the glass dome at the North Pole, and the one Santa goes, "So I think we're going to need a new Blitzen," because the reindeer lose their powers. The elves start going mad and shit like that. This is fun as hell. There was another little part in here that I really wanted to talk about that joins did a nice job with the dialogue, where the American Santa Claus is, "Oh my God, we're trapped up here. What are we going to eat?" And one of the other Santas goes, "I swear, American, you're one step away from filling stockings with type 2 diabetes." Just beautifully written. But yeah, and I would have been reviewing this either an off-the-shelf or indie as well, but it was such a perfect pairing with that beer. I had to do it. So, yeah, we went a little off normal course with this one for Booze in a Book, but yeah.
It was really good. Hands down, should be picked up by anyone. It's number one. I don't know how long of a series this is going to be.
I think it's either 4 or 5 issues, I believe.
Okay.
I will do a little.
But ultimately, I'm glad that they got a middle and an end in sight, so that they don't ruin the book by just putting out shit after shit. But so far, it's great.
Yeah, it is a blast. Not a children's Christmas story.
No, definitely not.
I mean, maybe slightly older children, but I mean, there's nothing like bad in here. But it's just dark.
Yeah.
So. Cool.
Anyone got anything for last call?
Yeah, I got a few for last call here. What'd you guys? What?
I got a few here, and then Derek whipping out his huge wad. Boom!
Well,
oh God, all the
these were the good ones. We won't even talk about the ones that I'm not mentioning. Powerpuff Girls, number 3. God, I love that book.
You start off with that with your A-list comics.
It is.
But, hey, man, I've enjoyed what I've read of Powerpuff Girls so far.
Well, it's funny that I go from Powerpuff Girls, cute little all ages, to X number 8 from Dark Horse, where the main character has a ball bat with spikes sticking out of it and blood all over the place. The fact that I buy both of these in the same day and read them in the same day, I need fucking help.
Yeah.
Tony, what else did you have over there?
Batman number 26. Batman's still doing great. I love Batman and where they're taking him right now.
Tony, did you pick up Uncanny X-Men number 15?
Yes, but however, I have not gotten to read it yet.
Okay, well then I'll just say it's good.
Okay.
Rocketeer and the Spirit number 4 from IDW and DC.
No, you got the alternate cover on that.
Yeah, I always pick up the subscription variants or the retailer incentives whenever I can. And my shop kicks ass, and they're nice enough to, like, they know I like those, and so they pull them for me.
Yeah, my shop kicks ass, too, because I got Forever Evil, Arkham War, number 3. Some people couldn't get that this week.
Your shop is the same as my shop.
I know.
But our shop kicks ass.
Yeah, our shop kicks ass. Kevin, how's your shop do?
Fuck you guys. Hate you.
I picked up the Wraith.
Bah humbug.
I picked up Wraith number 2 from IDW and Joe Hill. And again, I got the messed up cover that doesn't actually have the title on it once again. Walking Dead number 118.
Dude, I love the actually going back to this.
The Wraith.
The Wraith. I love the license plate.
The Nosferatu.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Walking Dead 118.
Have they done anything yet?
Dude, I'm actually impressed.
It's all out war.
Well, yeah, all out war started
according to the cover, anyway.
This is actually one of the best story arcs that they've done in here in a long time. Amazing X-Men, number 2, which finds our heroes still searching for Nightcrawler, and they're in both heaven and hell, which is, depending on which group. This actually turned out to be a lot more fun than I expected. Then my last one that I had from Xenoscope, Code Red, number 1, which is your little Red Riding Hood. she actually works for a government agency in here. And it's this is a really good read. I really enjoyed the art. Pat Shan did a nice job on overall on it. Oh, she has a pet wolf, by the way. Ricardo, and I'm going to screw this last name up, Asnaya, I hope I'm saying it right, did the art on it. But yeah, overall, really, really solid job. And if you haven't jumped onto a Xenoscope title and you've kind of wanted to, I'd say that this is actually a good one because it kind of gives you a little bit more information about the world or the worlds in general and mentions enough for the people where you're like, okay, I saw that on the shelf. I know who that is. I saw that on the shelf. I know who that is. So it is a good one out there.
So, Code Red. You guys ever heard of Code Brown? it's actually a thing.
When do you poop yourself?
Yeah, it's actually used in the swimming pool industry.
Oh yeah.
For fecal contamination. If you couldn't figure it out.
Oh, I thought it was somebody spilled hair dye. Kevin, did you have anything else that you wanted to
shout out? I do. I got to. I already mentioned to y'all Superman Wonder Woman number 3. The good times keep on going there. Did you guys check out Dead Body Road?
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, well, again, this is probably like 7 months old or something like that. I don't know, but this is Image Skybound joint. And this has some potential.
What, was that a number 1?
Yes. Yeah, Dead Body Road, number 1. Justin Jordan, Mattins, Scalariar, and Moreno Decenio.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was an interesting start. A lot of questions that that never were they didn't really tie anything up.
The title is just making me think of like a zombie road trip.
Well, it's
that's sort of kind of why I picked it up.
it's a 6-issue miniseries is what I'm just finding out.
Really? More breaking news?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, I judged a book by a cover, and I'm like, hey, now that I know it's only a 6, because I probably wasn't gonna pick up 2, even though it had a lot of interesting questions in it. Now that I know it's just a 6-parter, I'll probably pick up the rest now.
Yeah, just to only make it a little bit more confusing because we don't know. But Krampus doesn't say if it's an ongoing or mini.
They're going to take a hiatus during the summer.
Yeah. Oh man, what if there's fucked up Easter bunny that could come in? You know, like a Donnie Darko looking bunny.
And then Quanzibot's going to come out at some point. Quanzibot.
Rumors. All right, that does it for me.
Square.
I'm good.
All right, guys. Keep reading those comics. We'll be back next week to talk to you about them then. But before we go, I just remembered I want to do a huge thank you to all of our review writers. We kind of mentioned one here earlier. I'm not going to have the full list because we've actually got quite a few people here in front. So next week when we do our Christmas special, I will I'll actually get the list of people that... Thank you so much for contributing to Drunk on Comics and being part of our family, and we appreciate it. And
we only hope that you just didn't turn off the podcast just before you started saying that.
Well, if they're nerds, they know that sometimes you should stick around all the way till the end of the song, because sometimes there's after credits surprises.
Are you saying we do stingers at the end of our podcast?
Well, we did it once, so we may do it again.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun.
Rumors.
All right, listeners, keep reading those comic books, and we'll be back to you next week.
See you guys.
The ashes of the bridges you've burned. Is the flower still gripping the ruins had something to say. They tell me that I am to blame. Scraped up and bruised my knees from bed.
We should have the outro music be like 5 minutes long.
Now. Oh, Tony never clips the outro music. It's always like 2.5 minutes of song left.
I'm still recording right now.
I don't give a shit.